friends. Our next guest is Paul Hellyer. This is the second hour of Out of This World Radio. And I just want to add something for Simon's message. He said that we need to send calm and the belief in goodwill will triumph over evil to strengthen human consciousness on this planet. And finally, Michiko Hayashi of the beautiful Modal Peace Project is doing a worldwide meditation for peace at 11:11 a.m. on the November 11th. So no matter where you are at 11:11 that day, please send lots of love and light for the world, for world peace. And now we're going to try to get on Paul. Paul, are you there? Oh, let's see. Paul, are you there? We'll try to reach him here. There he is. Good. Okay, good.
Can you see me?
Paul, I saw you for 2 seconds, and there you are. I'm seeing you for 5 seconds now.
That's good. I get up to 10, we'll be all right.
Well, I think we just reached 10 seconds, Paul, so great. Well, it's so good to see you, Paul. Yeah, it's been a long time. And, you know, one thing I admire about you, you always have a good attitude. And you always write the most wonderful books too. Your publisher was really good. Chris Mulligan was nice enough to send me your latest book. Let me see here. It's called, make sure I get this right. It's called Liberation, the Economics of Hope. What a fascinating book, Paul. Tell me what inspired you to write this book? I guess there's a lot of reasons, right? It's not just one, but.
Well, the principal reason was that as soon as the pandemic broke out, I said there's going to be an economic crisis because it's going to shrink the money supply. There are going to be thousands of people out of work. There are going to be people without food. We're going to need hundreds or thousands or millions, but trillions of dollars worldwide to pump up the system and get it going. And consequently, this is the greatest opportunity we have had in years to get rid of our present evil system where all of the money is created by a few people as debt that has to be repaid with interest.
Wow.
I just thought, well, now is the time, if ever, that we have to seize control of the money supply. And it's the people that own it. It's our patent. And we should never have given it away. You, my friends in the United States, should never have given it away to the system controlled by the Rothschilds and the Rockefellers and the other people who have made unbelievable fortunes from having it. Yeah. And so we've got to go back and start over again. The United States is going to have to take control. I say in my book, I say seize, and I mean that literally, the whole federal system, including all of the assets, which are nearly all U.S. bonds and short-term paper, and start a system whereby the money creation function is shared between private banks and the governments. Mm-hmm. And I've been working on this, as you know, for, 70 years.
Well,
I haven't succeeded yet, but I haven't given up. So a few years ago, some friends of mine came up with a formula that I include in the book. And so it is one that I think would be good for the world and that we should adopt it. And first of all, in a country and try it out because it would work perfectly and then extend it to the rest of the world. Now, that is only the name, that's the principal thing in the book. Mm-hmm. But and in the beginning of the book, instead of an introduction, I have what I call disclosure. Mm-hmm. And I list five what I call plagues that our friends, the cabal, have inflicted on us and are inflicting on us.
Right.
And number five is the monetary system, but the others start with the Fourth Reich. And so what I'm saying is that the situation we have presently is that there can be no more fighting between people of different political stripes. There has to be unity, and it has to be all directed at saving the United States from the cabal and recapturing the United States for the people. That's the big issue now and for the next few months before the cabal has an opportunity to start implementing New World Order takeover, which they've been working on for a long time.
Oh,
so
yeah.
It's a huge thing, and it covers the waterfront, and it has some new revelations in it that towards the back that are kind of interesting. And so I recommend not to read the whole thing unless somebody's had Economics 101, which in case they might find it interesting. But the first section and the last five chapters, including one on the coronavirus, I think most people would find very worthwhile and worth reading at the present time, and it may tell them the way we have to go.
Well, we'll go into those things in a few minutes, but I wanted to point out a fascinating quote you had from Bill Clinton on page six, where it says, the cabal is the same group President Bill Clinton was referring to when senior White House correspondent Sarah McLendon asked him why he didn't reveal more about the extraterrestrial phenomenon. And his reply, Sarah, there's a government within a government and I don't control it. So I thought that was, I remember that quote actually.
Can I quote the other one that I think is even more powerful?
Sure.
Maybe I should put my glasses on for this.
Okay. I've got your book here too, so.
I have to wear glasses for a reading, but it's absolutely devastating. And here we are. As the late U.S. Senator Daniel K. Inouye of Hawaii described, and I quote directly, there exists a shadowy government with its own Air Force, its own Navy, its own fundraising mechanism, and the ability to pursue its own ideas of the national interest, free from all checks and balances, and free from the law itself. Hmm. Now, that was the situation then. That, in effect, is the situation now. And that is the situation that the American people have to unite on and say, once and for all, we've got to get rid of this threat of somebody who wants to take over the country and the world and to reduce the population by some unknown figure between 500 million and 90% of the total
that's,
population.
So that's absolutely right. That's absolutely correct.
Situation.
Yeah. Yeah. That's absolutely correct, Paul. That's the same information I get from my friends in the Galactic Alliance. Yeah. And actually, a little bit of fill-in from what they tell me, there are negative extraterrestrials here who work through the Big C, the cabal, and their plans is to reduce population by about 90-95% to what they consider a smaller slave-like population of about 500 million people to extract resources from the planet. They've done this in 22 other star systems, so they're well accomplished with it. However, the threat's real. It's there, and I'm so glad that you're pointing that out today, Paul. It's an amazing work you do, and I'm thanking so grateful you could come on.
I'm thinking about the election is now over.
Right.
Two things I'm thinking about. One of my first time I was defeated was after winning two elections, 1957. Our party was defeated. And of course, I had been just appointed to the cabinet a few weeks before. That was my first cabinet experience in 1957, which was a long time ago. And our system is different in that it depends on whether you can win a vote in the House or not in order to stay in power. So we had a cabinet meeting, and the two of the senior members of that cabinet said, hold in, we'll get the support of one of the minor parties, because we have a couple of minor parties as well as the two major ones, and maybe they'll support us and we can stay in power. And the Prime Minister, Louis Saint-Laurent, who was one of the greatest statesmen I've ever met, said, no, the people have spoken. And so we turned the power over. And I've always remembered that, because he, of all the prime ministers that I've known, was, in my sense, the greatest in the sense of his inner strengths and his approach to life and his willingness to serve and his concern for ordinary people. Wow. And then, so that's sort of where I would come from. But then to come up to the present situation, we must not spend the next 2 years worrying about the partial election in 2 years. We have to solve this problem that you and I were just talking about.
Right.
Because if we don't, it may be too late.
Yeah.
Because a lot of things are going on that I talk about in the book. Mm-hmm. And if we take them and face them head on, get a bipartisan committee of the House, and we're House and Senate, and start investigating what's been going on for the last 50 years that the public has no knowledge of, simply because the cabal didn't want them to know what was going on, and start and maybe give them an amnesty, which has been proposed several times, going back to Jim Sparks' talk with one of the extraterrestrial groups, saying give an amnesty so that the people who want to tell the truth can come and tell the truth and let the people know what the situation is. Sure. And once you know what the situation is, then you know maybe what you have to do about it.
Right.
And later on in the book, I tell what I think they're going to have to do about it.
Right. They used the Truth and Reconciliation Commission, I know, in South Africa in the early 90s, Paul. And that seemed to work out very well, where people were willing to come forward, tell the truth about what they had done, the crimes they committed during the apartheid era, but they weren't prosecuted. They left it up to God to take care of those people. And it was very cathartic. South Africa, of course, has problems today, but I think it was a very good way to transition.
Absolutely. And that would
be it. Yeah, I agree.
That's what has to be done now. And I think the legislators will be absolutely, I was going to use the word stunned.
Right.
Just totally taken aback by what has been going on that they didn't know about.
Sure.
And then to investigate why they didn't know about it.
Right.
And what has to be done not to have the whole apparatus of news gathering and dispensation controlled by one group, because the Bilderbergers, who was a very prominent part of the cabal, right at the top of the heap. According to the chap who wrote the true story of the Bilderbergers, in his second book, he lists all of the ownerships and every single English language outlet, either print or electronic, is either owned by or controlled by the Bilderbergers.
Wow, amazing, amazing. They tried to control me too in January of this year, but it didn't work. I can't be bought.
No,
I'm uncorruptible.
Well, I know, and there aren't, frankly, there aren't many people that are.
Yeah.
Because I read a book about the CIA taking some suitcases full of cash around from one place to another, buying reporters and their points of view. And it was written by, I think, someone who was authentic. And
sure. Well, I think both of us, Paul, answer to a higher calling. And in those heavenly realms, money means nothing.
No, well, it's not important there.
You know, I know who my boss is. So and I think you do too, Paul. I want to get into some of the chapters in your book, which are just fascinating. The one chapter 10 is on the Karzarian connection. This is just a joke, but in 25 words or less, could you describe the chapter, maybe, for us?
What it is to reveal an ancient people who have spent millions trying to erase from history their own history, and who were apparently very difficult to live with. Mm-hmm. They robbed their visitors. Sometimes they took their identities and so on. And this didn't go over with their neighbors, which you can understand. And so eventually they were threatened and told that they had to adopt one of the Abrahamic religions.
Who did? Who dropped you?
And that they chose, of the three, they chose the Jewish religion. And then they, but they didn't change. They didn't really adopt any reforms. They just kept on going. And eventually a group led by the Russians decided to go in and take them over. Their spies knew about it because they knew what was going on there. And so they moved out into Central Europe and proceeded to do their thing, one of which was banking. They were great bankers.
Yeah.
And.
Okay. Thanks so much. Thanks so much. Paul, you're hitting the nail on the head. And the reason I say that is because Comcast just cut the internet for my entire station. All of BBS radio has been cut by Comcast. They terminated the connections 5 minutes ago. Keep going, Paul. I know you're speaking the truth and hitting it on the head. So keep going, my friend.
So all of these years, some of the people, I think, from Gazaria have been in catch-up mode and try and take it out on the people that you know, put them down.
Sure.
And I can understand that. But what I can understand is us letting them get away with it. Because we have a future. At least I hope we do. And we just can't let the people who don't want us to have a future and who have in effect decided to exterminate us,
right,
to continue with their plan.
Right, exactly. Exactly.
Which is what they intend to do. And how soon, I don't know. But at the end of the book, I give some hints coming directly from one of the people in the armed forces who has some idea as to what is up.
Sure, sure, absolutely. Absolutely. Well, I've been talking to George Washington in preparation for this interview today with you, Paul. I want to share a few things from President Washington. The first thing is to, we're powerful spiritual beings. We've got to be careful of our thoughts. So use this time to reflect, he said, Paul, to reflect on what kind of world you'd like to see in a positive way for humanity. What's the best case scenario? Rather than being negative or attacking Biden, for example, or the Democrats, rather put up on a positive note, because we can create a positive future for ourselves. And I know that's all you do all the time. That's why I really love your work, Paul, because you always give people alternatives.
Well, let's start out by saying the worst four-letter word in the English language is hate.
Is what?
Hate, H-A-T-E.
Hate, yeah, right.
And that's the one we've got to exterminate.
Right.
And the best four-letter word in the English language is love, L-O-V-E. Right. And that's the one we have to adopt.
Right.
And we have to try and create a society where we love each other.
Right.
Want to protect each other.
Right.
Want to share with each other.
Right.
Want to cooperate with each other.
Mm-hmm.
And create a world where, I always say, where the young people have enough food to eat, enough clothes to wear, a roof over their head, and enough basic education in order to, demonstrate whether they have something real to contribute to society and this sort of thing.
Right.
And that's the way I would like to see us go. But we have to prevent the cabal, meanwhile, from going forward with their plan to exterminate us.
Right.
And if we don't, we'll all meet again somewhere, sometime, you know, very well, better than I do, maybe.
Sure, right.
But we won't have shown that humans who have been given the power of choice
mm-hmm.
have the common sense or the spiritual strength mm-hmm. and determination
mm-hmm.
to live the way we're intended to live.
Right.
And in my second last book, seeing that we're sort of open here, mm-hmm. I explain how the cosmos was brought into existence, mm-hmm. and how we all came down from that, and how, in effect, we're all siblings, every one of us. It doesn't matter on our color, our religion, or our sex, or whatever.
Right.
We're all God's children.
That's right. Absolutely right.
And he loves us all. And sometimes we upset him and we do things that any parent would be disappointed with from one of their children. But at the same time, it's just like a parent here. I've seen parents whose children have murdered someone.
Right.
And they say, well, I'm sorry, that's terrible. I really feel, you know, for the people involved and so on. But I still love my son. Mm-hmm. And that's the way the Creator, in my opinion, looks at us and sure. wishes the best for us and hopes that we will do the best for him or her or it or whatever, mm-hmm. and build the kind of civilization that is worthy of going up to a higher dimension.
Right. Right.
Which, as you know, is one of the things that's under consideration at the present time.
My friends in the Galactic Alliance, Paul, have given me good news about this, and that the prime creator, or God, if you will, has slated planet Earth for ascension. Mm-hmm. We're not going to have a nuclear war. That timeline was changed back in the 90s, thanks to our prayers and all, and light workers as well, because consciousness is waking up. People are waking up. And we're definitely not going to have a World War III or whatever. I know we'll get through this rough patch in history. It's also a time of truth, too, that things that are true will be shown to be true, Paul, and those that are false will be shown to be false. And there's been so much evidence coming in now that the elections in the United States recently were totally falsified, with hundreds of thousands of fake ballots coming in. That truth will be revealed, too, very soon. And so I don't pay too much attention to the mass media because it's controlled by the big C. I follow my heart, and my boss is up there in the heavens somewhere. That's who I follow for my direction and guidance. And I know you.
On the same page there, as you know. Mm-hmm.
So one of the messages from George Washington he gave me last night and this morning and over this past last couple of days was to remain calm, think positive, and reflect on the kind of future you'd like to see for humanity in the world. And that we're powerful spiritual beings, and we can, it'll be fine. I've got good news from Switzerland, Europe, Japan, Australia, that we are being heard worldwide, even though Comcast has cut the internet in San Francisco, just to my station in this block radio, only to that station. It's been cut off. I think that's grounds for a lawsuit. I don't know if there's any lawyers out there, but that's great grounds for a lawsuit against Comcast. They got lots of money. They can pay for our damages. So anyway, Paul, you know, I love Canada. It's like my second home. I have so many friends up in Canada. It's a beautiful country. What do you think is going to happen the next year or so with the current government? Or should I even ask?
I hate to speculate. I'm very disappointed in them.
Yeah.
Because how can you really respect a government that would let a contract or hundreds of millions of dollars without calling for tenders?
Yeah.
And where members of your family had interests from having been paid fees or traveling expenses and so on.
Sure.
And that's just, I think, the worst example that's come up, but it's one that is, in my opinion, absolutely intolerable.
Yeah.
And from my standpoint, well, the day the prime minister was sworn in, mm-hmm. I sent him a private letter saying, now, if you want to be a really great prime minister, rather than just a prime minister, here are the things you have to do. And so one of them was to address the geoengineering problem. Mm-hmm. Stop the armed forces from dropping nanoparticles of aluminum, barium, strontium, heaven only knows what else.
Yeah.
On us poor human beings who in 99% of the cases don't even know about it.
Right.
Even though it makes us sick. Right. It gives us Alzheimer's and Lou Gehrig's disease and more autism in the young people. Right. Dreadful, absolutely dreadful. And still nobody's doing anything about it. And they allow it to go on. And we apparently just had a court case in my country. I just got word of it yesterday or the day before because it's been turned down. To stop this, I don't know, I'm trying to think of a nice word, outrageous policy of tinkering with people's lives without either their knowledge or consent. Surely that, you know, that has to be in the rule book somewhere.
Right.
Without our consent, they're doing this to us.
Right.
And say that they shouldn't do that.
Right.
And you should do something about it. And then on the world heating, climate change, said you should not approve more pipelines or extension of the oil sands, which are just devastating. And a lot of your people have commented on that too. Instead, you should immediately start developing zero point energy. And you should build zero point energy factories in Calgary and Edmonton and Saskatoon, other places where the oil workers are going to be put out of business,
right?
And move to the next generation, to the final generation of energy. So we started with coal and wood, and then we moved on to oil and the gas, and now it's about 10 years late, but nevertheless must be now, on to the next stage, which is zero point energy.
Right.
And this, I am told by good authorities, including the late Dr. Wolf, the United States forces had developed sometime in the late, well, not the late 60s, in the 60s anyway, both the coal fusion and zero point energy. And here we are 30, 40, 50 years later.
Right.
Not one of my friends in 20 has even heard of it because they don't talk about it in the papers. They talk about windmills and they talk about, you know, tidal waves and they talk about everything else except the one that's important, zero point
and
energy.
Traffic accidents and what the latest Hollywood trends are. I mean, garbage. I mean, who cares? I mean, you know.
Absolutely. Yeah. And so I said, lead the world in this. Just start doing it. Provide jobs for those people because the demand potentially is insatiable. Mm-hmm. I would recommend the same thing for the United States and say what I think you have to do is to use the technology that you have to help save your own country and others, because the template of arable land is shrinking, the shores are moving in, things are going in the wrong direction, millions of people are going to have their lives affected,
right.
and it's going to wreak havoc with millions of people, and we could still do something. And don't talk about the Paris Agreement, which is out of date, was out of date when it was signed. I mean, it was nice on paper and everybody could get up and cheer a little bit and so on. But what we want is action. My very first book of the, when I've written four last books. 10 years ago, I wrote my last book because I thought I put in all I knew.
Right.
And then I said we had 10 years to do something about this global heating problem.
Sure.
10 years ago, we've done virtually nothing.
Uh-huh.
And so and 4 years later, I wrote The Money Mafia, A World in Crisis, because by then I knew so much more than I did at the outset. I was so much better prepared to communicate on these subjects and to quote people like Phil Schneider and so on as to what was going on, what was really going on and what the New World Order really had in store for us.
Right.
And so on. And it's become something of a classic. But when you're talking about a classic book, you're talking about a few thousand copies. So a few thousand, I mean, I know a few thousand votes are important in some cases, but a few thousand copies doesn't influence enough people to get any kind of action, get attention. And I've tried to get one of my books, and that one in particular, through the presidents of the United States, by people who said, I know him well, I know his staff will get one through. They never yet have been able to get one through because the gatekeepers have always been there and said no, and they've diverted them.
Well, I haven't said this before, but I do have a direct connection to the White House and I can get your book to them, no problem. They're a little bit busy right now with the elections, but I can get it to them.
Well, that would be good.
I'll make it happen for you.
Thank you.
Okay. They need to hear from you.
Well, I think it would help because you understand this. All four of those books were inspired.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Do you know what that means?
Mm-hmm.
In the last book, every word cleared in advance. And it's rough stuff, and I know, but I know that there is a desire and need that the people know about it.
Right.
And if somebody doesn't tell them, they will never know.
Right, exactly. You know, the media in this country, it's losing its credibility. You know that more people watch the Cartoon Channel than CNN in the United States now?
Is that right?
Yes. So if you want to... it's not a joke, it's actually true. And I don't know where they get their revenues because people just don't watch it. They don't care. It's all propaganda. Most of it's propaganda anyway. I predict within a year, many of the major outlets in the United States will fail. I mean, that's one of the reasons for the popularity of my show, which is now hundreds of thousands of listeners around the world, is because I speak the truth. I don't care about lies. I don't have time for nonsense. You know, all I want's the truth. That's all I want. And that's all I like to broadcast about. And people are sick and tired of the controlled media, you know.
Absolutely.
People. Yeah.
Absolutely. And, you know, people keep saying to me, well, why do you say this? Because we don't know about this.
Right.
Why don't we know about it? I said, because the cabal doesn't want you to know what they're doing.
Sure. Right. The date is a little bit like November, December, 1944. And we have the Nazis racing across Europe through the Battle of the Bulge, trying to reach Antwerp to try to turn World War II around. And this is a little bit like, that's my impression now, that they're desperate and they're trying everything they can to stop our evolution, but they can't. It's already been decreed by the Supreme Being. It won't work, period. You know, and like Data said on Star Trek, resistance is futile. So I don't think they're not going to make it, but it's amazing.
Interesting, because we're coming up to Armistice Day this week. And and I must admit, until 3 or 4 years ago, I thought that we, the Allies, had won the Second World War.
Yeah, right.
And then all of a sudden I find out, not true. And I find out that that not only the Council on Foreign Relations, as early as 1940, had figured that the Nazis were going to lose, so they started working on the new American Empire. Mm. I've been working on it ever since as part of this larger group.
Sure.
And the Nazis came to the same conclusion. And so what they did was to start building their base in Antarctica. I've found out since that they had started it very early on. I thought it would just after they had decided they were going to lose the war, but it was before that.
Mm-hmm.
And they were building a place which in effect would be a government in waiting.
Oh, okay. Interesting.
I can't say it, but it's in New Berlin.
I see. Okay.
And what I found out, and this would interest you, yesterday I watched two German films from 1939 of one of their U-boats going to Antarctica. Hmm. One of their preliminary excursions to start building their base there.
Wow.
And as far as I know, it's still there, and they're involved in the Martian
escapade,
as you know.
Right, right.
And they're very active, and they're connected with the Cabal and its forces in the United States.
Right, right. I had a time traveler on my show in Miami, Florida yesterday named James Rink. He says, from 1790. And I time traveled with him we had lunch or dinner with George Washington and Thomas Jefferson and Benjamin Franklin. It was an interesting experience. But he told me all about that because he has been to Mars. And he told me all about how they're still operating today. It's a breakaway civilization. I mean, we pay our taxes here and we think we're supporting our own governments, but a lot of that money goes off planet to support a civilization that has free energy, med beds, and wonderful technology, that our evolution, Paul, in a way has been arrested, been stopped for decades ever since the end of World War II, because there hasn't been really, if you think about it, well, Watson and Crick, of course, in the 50s discovered DNA, but the technological advances in this country and other around the world in Canada, they've gone off planet because you don't see it now. In my opinion, you can see we've had a breakaway civilization, and it's time to bring these discoveries back home now to help our own humanity here.
And there's so much, and you and I know, and this was the kind of thing, of course, we were offered and turned down.
Mm. That's right. Exactly right, Paul. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It said you can have this fantastic ability to heal people.
Right.
And I think, have you read Len Kasten's latest book with the captain from the Marines who had a leg grown back on?
Oh, really? He's written a new book? Oh, great. He's been on my show before. I really like his work. I'll look it up. Yeah.
And absolutely remarkable things.
Right.
We were offered all of this.
Right.
Including an agriculture that would grow enough food for all of the people in the world, without starving anybody.
Right.
We wouldn't have to cut back our overeating very much.
Right, right.
To share and make it available to the poorest of the poor.
Right.
Some of them who are starving from lack of food. And all of this, we were offered, I think it was twice.
That's right.
We said no. Apparently some of the politicians were for it, but the chiefs of staff, who were already under influence, said no.
Nixon had many friends in the medical industry in the American Medical Association, which was against it because he was afraid they'd lose all their jobs. So he rather had people die. Plus, I've talked to President Eisenhower about this, and he felt he was bullied and mind controlled to sign the first agreement with the negatives for that exchange, which ended up giving us. It was executed in March of 1954 between the reptilians and Eisenhower's administration. But he felt like he was forced into it, and he had no choice. So
he was probably blackmailed, wasn't he?
I think so. Yeah.
If you don't do it, the Russians will do it.
Right, but. Little did he know, Paul, that Khrushchev at the same time was getting the same offer from the same group. So they played us both on each other. And since that time, 6 million people have been taken off the planet. Only 1.5 million had been returned, Paul, and 4.5 million had either been eaten or put into slavery. Yeah. That's another long story. But anyway, and people need to know this. It's not fantasy. It did happen, you know, and we're suffering from the effects of it today still.
Yeah, what we have to get through to a lot of people is that most of the conspiracy theories are true.
That's true.
And it's mostly the people who were complaining about conspiracy theories who are just trying to cover up the truth with this thing that the CIA invented to get people off on the wrong tangent, the wrong siding.
That term was invented in 1967 when Bobby Kennedy was running for re-election, for election of president of the United States, Paul, and he vowed to find the killers and prosecute them. That's when that term came up. So that's what I know. Yeah, no. That's what I know. Paul, we've got about seven or 8 minutes left. And you have some fascinating topics about money. And in this new age of free energy, zero point energy, med beds, and healthcare that truly heal people, what do you think the value of money will be in the future? How will it be restructured?
Value of money just depends on how much it will buy. What I'm proposing really is the reestablishment of a system where the people share in money created because they own it, mm-hmm. and that would give them, first of all, huge amounts for 7 years playing catch up. The banks have no cash reserves at the present time, none. Mm-hmm. This is something that our friends in the cabal have managed to negotiate. Mm-hmm. And so seniorage, as we call it, is gone. That was seniorage was the money that the central banks had to print, and the people got the benefit of that money. Mm-hmm. And so this is really reestablishing seniorage, 5% a year for 7 years until the banks have 34% cash in their vaults for every dollar deposit that they have. So their deposits are backed by 34% cash for the first time, well, ever, for, you know, probably. Mm-hmm. I guess maybe they came close in the early parts of the 20th century. Federally incorporated banks in the United States had to have a 25% gold reserve. So they had to have, that was 4-to-1 leverage. Mm-hmm. But this will wind up reducing the leverage of the banks to what it was when the Bank of England was first incorporated. And that's enough for looking after the banking needs. You know, if you go in and say, well, look, I'd like to put in an extension on my studio or do so-and-so. Sure. They'd have enough to do that and look after people in the short term. Mm-hmm. But they wouldn't have control of the world, which is what they've got now. Mm-hmm. Because the cabal and the money boys in particular have more power than the president of the United States.
It's true.
And unless something is done about that,
right,
we're in trouble. And I would put that as probably number one of the thing so that a new Congress would have to do right after setting up their joint committees to start looking into what was happening worldwide.
My spirit friends say we're still on track, Paul, to create a beautiful new earth. And so they're not saying it's not going to be without challenges.
No.
But I know we're going to get through this. So
well, I have a similar story. It is that the human species will survive, but it may have a rough time for the next 50 years.
Yeah, that's true. But the beautiful thing to think about is our children and children's children, future generations, we're working hard now so that they can enjoy a paradise in the future. And now, too, we can create a paradise here.
Well, that's what we want. That's what we dream of. That's what we could have had and can still have. As you say, it's going to happen, which is very consoling. And I hope that people go for that. But they may have to do some of these things that will make it happen more easily, because the Creator uses people here to do the things that have to be done.
I want to tell you a quick little story. We got about 5 minutes left or so. And that the Galactics tell me in most cases in this universe, Paul, there's 12 different dimensions where God is in the 12th dimension. We exist here in the third. We're shifting into the fourth and then fifth. in most cases in this universe, as planets evolve up the dimensional scale, they may spend a couple hundred thousand years in third dimension, then a couple hundred thousand years in fourth dimension before going on to fifth. Because this, the evolution of this planet has been held back for so long by negative elements, we are starting to shift now, but we're going to go into the fourth very briefly for a matter of a year or two, maybe even less, and then right into the fifth. We won't have to wait several hundred thousand years. That's because, yeah.
That won't be around that long.
No, wait, let me finish. Paul, you could live another 1,000 years if you want and have 10 more families. No problem with the med beds. They're going to give us more time today, Paul. We don't have to rush off, which is nice. So we can keep talking. But at any rate, it's a beautiful time, and I'm excited for the children of this world and the future generations. A lot of kids coming in now are basically star kids. They're coming very enlightened, and I'm really excited about the future. I've been told by the time this MedBed technology comes out, Paul, you could either kind of, you know, choose a new model from when you were in your 20s or get a new body. Doesn't matter. But, you know, just, you know, like go in, you get like a oil change and a new transmission and new tires and windshield wipers and whatnot. You get everything brand new and you're good for another, I don't know, a couple thousand years at least.
I just did that to my old Buick. And I thought it would see me out anyway.
Oh, how funny. How funny. I know it.
So can I peddle some books?
Of course, please. Yes, talk about your books. Great. And I recommend all of my listeners to get them from you. They're great books.
The four last books are all sort of tied together.
Okay.
The latest one, of course, I think is the one the most urgent as of now.
Right.
That's Liberation.
Right.
The economics of hope, but it's much broader than that. Mm-hmm. And I think that and some of the bookstores won't handle it.
Really? You're kidding. Why not?
No.
And, are they afraid of the truth? Or?
No. No. Huh. And one of them has been very slow. They haven't filled any orders until the 17th of November.
Okay.
The biggest one. And I think some of the small people will do it, but if people have trouble, or if they want to have an autographed copy, or an autographed copy to give to someone for Christmas or Hanukkah or whatever,
nice.
My website, paulhellierweb.com.
Okay. Paul, okay, great. Why don't I promote your books on a regular basis on my shows too?
Well, that would be great if you would.
I'll do that every show. I've got a new Spanish show. Oh, it starts this afternoon at 3 p.m. Pacific, and it's translated into both Spanish and English, directed at Mexico and Central and South America. So I'll start promoting it this afternoon.
I don't think we'll sell many books down there, but wouldn't hurt to know about it.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, there's a lot of spiritual people in Central and South America. They have a lot of Native American cultures down there, and they're very spiritual, Paul.
I know.
Very spiritual, yeah. So, and very open-minded as well. Is this book, the book that I was reading called, that's called The Hope and Liberation, is that really your last book, or is it, will there be 10 more last books, you think?
I frankly think this is the last.
Okay.
I don't think my wife would stay with me if I tried another one.
Yeah. Well,
second edition of the previous one sometime if I live long enough, but this is the last of the books.
Sure. Well, you know what? You could always ask her to invite her to help write it, you know.
I don't think she's interested in this sort of thing. She doesn't think that conspiracies are genuine. And
well, here's what you do. You share the publishing profits with her, and then you promise her a trip to the Bahamas or something. I'm sure.
If I did that, she wouldn't have enough money to put in the gasoline in her car.
All right. Well, by that time, Paul will have free energy. So
I'm hoping so. Get those engines in there. Don't bother with electricity. Go right to zero point and do it right from the first opportunity.
Paul, we've got plenty of time. We have about 135 and a half seconds left. And I want to give you the rest of the time to maybe tell people how they can make a difference in the world and make the world a better place.
Well, I think knowledge is important, because mm-hmm. knowledge is power.
Right.
And so I would urge them to read books. When somebody asked Alan Dulles how he got so many Nazis into the United States, and especially into the CIA, he said it's because Americans don't read books.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
And Canadians are the same.
Right.
They wire me, they email me and said, well, tell us what you know, in effect, in response to our emails. And you can't do it, because these things are so big and so broad and so all-encompassing that you have to study them. And I have a glossary in that book, Liberation. Mm-hmm. Two pages of books written by people who, in most cases, really know their subjects. Right. And I recommend not only my own books, but to read those. And if you read 7 or 8 of them, you would really have a good idea of what's going on, both in this world and in other worlds, and our relationship between ourselves and them. And but basically it is faith in an evolution that is spiritual, because right. it's a spiritual battle.
Right.
And we've gone the wrong way for decades.
Right.
Still are. We're corrupt. And that's the way it would be described if this Bible was being written today. Right. And we just have to come back to the Creator God and say, yes, we're sorry. And in the future, we're going to obey those two laws of loving you with all our heart and soul and mind. And then the next one, which is tougher, and our neighbor, right. and ourself. Because when we start treating other people as we would want to be treated,
right.
you can solve almost any problem that you're likely to see.
Well, you have the backing of Archangel Michael, all those presidents I've been talking to, including President Kennedy, Abraham Lincoln, George Washington, Thomas Jefferson, as well as Albert Einstein, Nostradamus, and a host of beautiful Mahatma Gandhi. So keep up your good work, Paul. I have a feeling this may not be your last book, but no matter. I'll start promoting all your books on my Spanish show this afternoon. And you might want to think about translating it into Spanish, too. I also have a German show you can translate into German, too, if you like.
Good. Okay.
Anyway, Paul. Well, Paul, it's been wonderful having you on today. I'll send you the he's giving us another minute. Oh, wonderful. I'll send you the links to it. And I want to thank you so much for your wonderful interview, Paul. Thank you so much again, and keep up your good work, my friend. This is Ted Marr with Out of This World Radio, and I hope everyone has a beautiful weekend. Thank you again, Paul. All right.
Mike, my pleasure.
All right, my friend. Cheers. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.